In the day's other news, thousands of people in Scotland turned out for final tributes to Queen Elizabeth, a somber processional and an overnight vigil. Malcolm Brabant reports from London on the day's events.
From Edinburgh Castle, a traditional salute rang out across the city in tribute to Queen Elizabeth, who died in her beloved Scotland 4 days ago. King Charles III walked behind the hearse bearing his mother's casket, draped in the royal standard. As it was driven the short distance from Holyrood House to St Giles Cathedral for a service of remembrance. He was accompanied by his three siblings as the procession made its way along Edinburgh's narrow main street known as the Royal Mile. Normally bustling, its crowds watched on in respectful silence. Despite his grief, the new monarch has made a point of reaching out to the British people in person.
It just brought me to tears, really. Yeah, it's really, really emotional. And yeah, I just feel so privileged.
Earlier, King Charles received the condolences of the British Parliament in London as he addressed lawmakers for the first time since ascending the throne.
As I stand before you today, I cannot help but feel the weight of history which surrounds us and which reminds us of the vital parliamentary traditions to which members of both houses dedicate yourselves with such personal commitment for the betterment of us all.
The King's final duty was to return to St Giles to stand vigil next to his mother's coffin alongside his brothers and sister. There, the Queen will remain for the next 24 hours so thousands of Scots can bid a final farewell. Then she will be flown to London to lie in state for a further 3 days. The authorities are expecting around 1 million people. Officials warn they may have to wait in line for 30 hours or more to pay their respects. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Malcolm Brabant.
In Sweden, Sunday's elections have given a populist anti-immigration party a new voice. Supporters of the Sweden Democrats celebrated last night after becoming the country's second largest party, but it's unclear if they'll be accepted into a governing coalition. Back in this country, former President Trump's lawyers urged a federal judge to continue barring investigators from reviewing government documents found at his Florida home. They pressed again for an outside arbiter or special master to review the material first, and they objected to the government's candidates for that role. The lawyers also argued that the case amounts to, quote, a document storage dispute. Some 15,000 nurses in Minnesota launched a 3-day strike today over pay and staffing. Nurses picketed 13 hospitals around Minneapolis and St. Paul. The hospital said they are using temporary fill-ins during the walkout. The Biden administration today urged railroads and unions to reach agreement and prevent a nationwide railroad strike this weekend. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce says that the economy could lose $2 billion a day. Some 60,000 rail employees may strike over workloads and time off issues. And on Wall Street, stocks managed new gains to start the new week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 229 points to close 32,381. The Nasdaq rose 154 points, more than 1%. The S&P 500 added 43, also 1%. Still to come on the NewsHour, Tamara Keith and Amy Walter break down the latest political headlines. How Jackson, Mississippi's water crisis is indicative of larger racial inequities. Benjamin Franklin's literary legacy lives on in the country's longest running lending library, plus much more.
This is the PBS NewsHour from WETA Studios in Washington, and in the West from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.